Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Gorgo.
1961.
All right, so here's the deal with Gorgo. I think I remember seeing this a while ago. Like, I don't know, maybe like when I was in my 20s or something. On TV, like late night. I remember seeing like the tail end of this and being tired and being bored by it.
Okay.
So I wasn't really excited and jumping at the chance to watch this movie.
Actually, it's funny because like there, I actually fell asleep and had to put it on again later.
Okay. I kind of got a little sleepy towards the end, but I mean, I was watching it like after work, so it's like 10 in the morning, past my bedtime. The you sent me a video on the making of it, which leads me to believe that you wanted to know more about this movie because you liked it.
What I wanted to know is I wanted to know more about the production of it. Cause when I was watching, you know, like during, there's a scene where they're,
parading
searching
it through
for the creature in the ships, like everyone's on their boat shoot. And I was like, none of these shots match. There's like, there's the colors different in every single one of these shots of guys with binoculars.
Oh yeah, the binocular montage.
Yes, and then I was like, okay, and they're reusing a lot of the same clip. So I'm like, this has to be just stock footage that they took from places. And so then, because I was like looking to be like, they didn't shoot these people, all these different people with binoculars. Yeah. So I kind of wanted to get a little information on the the production of it.
I love this movie. I love this movie
By the way, I'm telling you right now. There's a whole series. There's a whole that he lived on in comic books.
Yeah. When I was looking up artwork to like post on Instagram and stuff, I saw a comic book panel where he was taking a nap.
I have the Ditko Gorgo collection.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, because like, I was like, Gorgo. And then I was like, and then I'm painting my office and I was pulling books out and stuff. And I was like, Gorgo. Is this the same Gorgo? Because like, it was like, there's like Gorgo and Konga. They're kind of like ripoffs on Godzilla and King Kong. And I was like, Gorgo. And I was like, it looks just like him because he's got those ears.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let me look at what the first comic book, and the first comic book is an adaptation of the movie.
Okay.
And I'll show it to you when I see it. So it's hit. There's stuff with like him and his mom. It's a lot.
That's
a lot of material.
That whole thing was great, and I don't want to get too far. I don't want to talk about the last shot of the movie, but I'm gonna. we watched Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2, and we were talking about Godzilla and baby Godzilla walking off into the ocean together, and how like baby Godzilla would have drowned by that point. Like baby Godzilla should be swimming, but it was like kind of adorable. This movie also ends with those two walking out, and I think it looked better and I liked it more.
So we're cutting to the end, but the two of them walking is a little silly because like they're not even walking in the same direction. But then with the little thing swimming next to the mom,
yeah,
it was adorable.
So I love this movie.
I was like, and if we jump to the end, it's like, did you want to talk about the whole thing about why it's a happy ending?
Yeah, we can talk about that. There's a lot to talk about. I only had like one problem with the movie, and it's kind of a big problem.
Okay.
And that's Gorgo's design. He's a little plain.
When he's sitting there getting, just stared at, you have this moment where you're like going, oh, come on, why don't you like breathe fire or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so he doesn't have any powers.
Nothing.
No powers at all. And kind of gets frightened by just like flaming logs and stuff.
They're really good shots with flaming logs. Yeah. Like a couple of people were able to land them in the mouth.
First of all, because he doesn't have any powers, he has to resort to just knocking down models.
Right.
So that's great.
Chunky models.
Yeah. But the design, like, it's kind of like a Godzilla with a less interesting face, funny ears that wiggle, and then no dorsal fins, no back spikes.
Yeah. His mouth is a little weird.
It's big.
The mouth opens. It's more almost like a ventriloquist puppet.
The mouth reminded me of, there's a Muppet that has a mouth like that.
Okay.
It just looks like a big Muppet mouth. It's not a scary mouth. I don't know. This is something about the design I didn't care for. It needed that little bit of something. And I don't even know what that is, because like even like Varin, who's kind of plain and kind of sort of looks like a mix between like Baragon and Angulus and sort of those kind of guys. Still, right. I like that design a lot. There's just something but I like the movie so much. There are so many crazy things in this movie, like effects wise.
This whole design, when they were designing that monster, they were like going, we don't want him to make, we're not going to make it look like Godzilla. That Godzilla costume is clunky, and I was like, and then that's what they came up with.
Yeah.
The big floppy feet, the clown shoes.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
I love the font at the beginning.
Yep, all of the fonts are strong. We've discussed fonts before. I think it was the monster that challenged the world, where it was like literally like Times New Roman. And I was like, oh, but this, where it's like the King Brothers, and there's like these like sort of like Land of the Giants, like rock textured, big, bold font that like takes up the whole screen. Like all of that stuff's great. Like when I see like a title card like that, like I get excited for putting together the collage for the episode.
It's like epic movies, like
old
Bible movies,
like Ten Commandments. Like, yeah, loved it. I didn't at first. I was like, I'm like, oh, okay, so I don't know when this took place. I'm like, does this take place in 1961 or not? Because it kind of just sent around like this old fishing village. I guess the divers had some modern stuff, but the whole, I was trying to figure out, because it said it was shot in like Ireland and the UK. It was shot in the general area, later on London and stuff. And so I was like, okay, so this is like a, it's like it was weirdly felt like a 50s sci-fi B monster movie. But because it was set in the UK, it felt different enough to be where, like, it felt interesting.
Yeah, it definitely also had that, like, these movies, this kind of movie kind of had a look, the color and the way people were dressed, like an old Disney movie.
Yeah. Or like a, it reminded me of what's the Darby O'Gill, and the Little People. Like it had that kind of weird, like if I saw this as a kid, I would be like, I'm gonna go to sleep. Like it looked like Pete's Dragon or something.
Sure.
But yeah, I totally got that. And it was, I think that's what was kind of messing with me, was it didn't feel like a sci-fi movie, but everything they were doing was along the same lines as like the monster that challenged the world, where, right, you know, they're out in the water and something's killing people and a man died of fright. I think that exact same thing happened
in that
other movie. They get struck by like this, this wave. There's like this erupting volcano or something under the water. Mm-hmm. And we get some good like model ship stuff. But what cracked me up was they showed the inside of the boat where they're steering it, and outside the window was like blue screened, but you couldn't really see anything outside the window. So I don't know why it was blue screened. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, this movie's got, you know, garbage special effects. But you know, oh well, it's like only an hour and 14 minutes or something like that. But that was like the only problem. Like the rest of the special effects were awesome.
Yeah.
But right off the bat, like, so these guys on this boat, they're going through the water and they start seeing these like dead fish.
Yeah. Those weird fish.
Yeah. They're not really explained.
Yeah. They pick one up. It's clearly a big rubber fish thing. It doesn't look like a mutated, like it looks different.
It's like it's got like legs or something.
I think that basically they're kind of showing that it trudged up stuff from the seafloor that hasn't seen the surface before, kind of thing.
Okay. What I liked,
but yeah, they had a lot of those weird fish.
Yeah. What I liked about it is it reminded me of Rodan in that it's like a mystery and there's like weird things going on, and it kind of slowly builds towards Gorgo, and we don't even have to wait that long to get Gorgo.
No.
But it's like, it's kind of a nice slow build up to the monster. Like that's where it stops feeling like a Disney movie. When you see the fish, they look like, do you remember Last Jedi when Luke Skywalker had that fish over his shoulders and he's walking around the island with that giant fish over his shoulders? It looked like that. It looked like a weird Star Wars fish.
Yeah. And they had their tongues out.
Yeah. I wonder if there's one of those around. Like if you go to like Monster Palooza or something.
Like that someone makes one of those fish.
Yeah. If someone makes those fish, or if someone has like a prop, cause there's a bunch of them.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
Oh, like if someone got one.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I feel like maybe in the UK. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess so. Huh? Oh, I wrote down that those fish look like the monster from The Host, like kind of a tadpole with little kind of legs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Loved it. A guy dies of fright and we don't know why. Like it's all those kind of B-movie monster tropes.
Yeah.
And I started getting on board really fast because, like I said, Gorgo shows up at the 14-minute mark. And then there was only an hour left in the movie at that point. So I was like, oh, cool. Great. Like I'm going to be able to get through this pretty easy. I did get a little sleepy, but sometimes I don't watch it at the best time.
Now, you saw it. Like you said, you saw it a while ago. Did you remember any of it when you saw it a while ago?
The only thing I remember is British people. And him knocking down, I think, Big Ben. So if you listen to like previous episodes, well, I keep mentioning like, oh, this is the British one.
That's her knocking down Big Ben.
Yes. That's right. So at the time, I just knew it was
Oprah.
Oh, and that's what the little ship, the fishing boat is based on, is that one.
The little fishing boat.
Yeah, at the beginning they have like a boat in.
And the kid Sean, when he sees Gorgo, he calls it Ogra as well.
So when we get Gorgo, the little one. We don't know it's the little one, but we get some dudes in like a rowboat, kind of a large rowboat, and this is the first time we see a giant claw. We see a giant claw like pop into frame, and then there's like a quick cut of the man in the suit knocking down a kind of an oversized model miniature of the boat. And then the editing is so good to where I'm like, oh, it totally works. Usually, yeah,
the foot that they made worked really well.
But then they never showed it too long. There's a lot of movies, especially some coming up, where they linger too long on the fake claw. And it's like you can kind of tell it's a little phony baloney. Like, I don't know. I like the kind of quick cuts in this. I think it helped add to the realism of the model shots. Like, it just all meshed together really well. We always get excited for giant claws and giant hands.
Yeah.
Interacting with real people.
Yes.
And this movie goes beyond just the giant hand. There's not a lot of movies where they build a full-size version of the monster. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Are you talking about the prop in the truck?
The prop in the truck and then the prop in the boat. When they capture Gorgo and bring him in the boat. And I mean, it's obvious
the Gorgo under wraps
one. Yeah, it's obvious they didn't build the whole thing. But they definitely built like a bigger than Jabba the Hutt size head and claw. And then
they drove him around London.
And then they built the tail. Like they shoot around it, but the fact that they built that much big stuff, I think maybe King Kong has some giant head stuff. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he does. He has people in his mouth.
Yeah. But there's something about them interacting with it on the boat and them driving it around London that really got me excited about it.
Yeah, it was cool. Actually, that would be a cool model. A truck with Gorgo on the back in the little tarp. This is Gorgo.
Yeah. And his like, he was like sleeping with his claw up and his eyes would open and close.
Yeah. Or they would glow and then go out.
It was like, we don't see that ever. Like I don't even think we see like a full size Godzilla tail. I mean, granted Gorgo's like maybe like 30 feet tall.
Yeah, he's like
a little bit taller than Daimajin. He's probably two Daimajins. Yeah,
it's like a two-story building.
Yeah, which I was excited for because I'm like, okay, cool. That means the models
workable.
Will be big, like big giant models that are going to be equal height. Until
when he's in the water and he's tossing the boat. Yeah.
It's that kind of Frankenstein scale.
That's the standard we use. It's a Frankenstein scale.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he's not.
I liked when they kind of like, this big lizard is tormenting your town. We'll get him for you. Mm-hmm. We'll kill him for you, because they are just throwing wood at it. Huh. It's like, how much wood does this town have?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Like, that's the only way that they know what to do.
Yeah, that flaming log defense. It was like they're ready to throw flaming logs. Like, because everybody got on board with it immediately.
What I didn't understand is how they went from the guy in that submersible thing, and he's getting eaten by Gorgo, to they caught him in a net.
I don't know either.
It's like, it's all his troubles happening when he's in the thing, and then suddenly he's already caught somehow. So the net's on him.
Yeah, they kind of just dropped the nets in, right?
There was this weird thing when the circus, they have a moment where they painted, like, it's like a circus tent that's painted, and there's painted people in front of it. Just a quick shot And it's like it's off centered, so you kind of like see the water and a little bit of like just like the, whatever the shot of whatever the bay is, mm-hmm. and like a piece of circus tent that's clearly kind of like almost like a wooden set that's been painted. And there's painted people on it.
Yeah,
it was. There's some weird things like that that are in it that kind of made it kind of quirky.
Yeah, there is like, there's definitely a lot of comp shot stuff. Like when they bring Gorgo back to London, there's like a Gorgo building. Like there's a building with like a flashing Gorgo sign.
Right.
And sometimes it looks good, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, you could see like the seams at the bottom where like real people would kind of like disappear
split
or go through.
Kinda, yeah, totally.
Behind like the paintings or whatever.
Totally.
But
I liked them. I thought they executed it, a lot of it really well.
Well, there's, I mean, talk about it later. But like some of the comp shots where we're not really fans of the Godzilla movies where they just take a picture of the skyline with real people running away. And then Godzilla's kind of superimposed behind the buildings.
Right.
There was a shot like that in this until I realized where the comp was and that the buildings were miniatures because they got knocked over.
Right.
So the kind of, I assume that the buildings were, you know, real and he was just superimposed behind it until the buildings started coming.
No, yeah. I think the split screen is, yeah, the line is lower.
Yeah. So we still get the model destruction.
Made it a lot better. Yeah.
There's a lot of comp shots. Some of them look really good. Some of them, like when Gorgo is getting attacked with the logs, and he's standing on kind of the shore, and they're across the way. Like it looks pretty seamless.
It does. That looked really good.
And it's that perfect scale too, the Frankenstein scale. But there's the way they edit the. Like when they capture him and bring him back, like they have that like holding pen, like the kind of big sort of dirt swimming pool area with the cranes and stuff. Like all of those models matched up with the live action sets, and they kind of got
intercut. Yeah, the circus, the stuff at the circus.
Yeah,
yeah. The fact that they did, they had a big set and a miniature version of the same set.
Yeah.
To do it was really
the model workers,
that was really well executed.
Yeah, the model work was really nice. Like they really duplicated the big sets.
I was when Gorgo wakes up and he roars for the first time since you know he's been put in the circus, and there's another little quick little montage of stock footage of all the tigers and lions.
Oh yeah.
It's like a bunch of random shots of various animals in cages.
Yeah, and it's the stock footage kind of stuck out like a sore thumb, but it didn't bother me that much.
It's just because it didn't match.
It just didn't match.
The color wasn't.
Or it would be daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who got hit by the tail.
Yeah.
Looked a little wonky.
Yeah.
But you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
And I was like sitting there going like, okay, so the Gorgo show is you get to sit there and stare at him in that tank.
Yeah.
And it's 5 shillings and they're like, it's full house. And it's like, but how long do you like, what how, is it?
Did how, they just sit and stare at it for like,
yeah. How long do people stay there?
I don't know. The Dorkin Circus.
I know they're even feeding him. He's just sitting there. It's definitely designed for you to empathize with the monster for sure.
Yeah, and we know why. We know why that is. The behind the scenes stuff that you were talking about.
Right.
The happy
ending. Right.
I looked up at this point in the movie. I'm like. Because the way it was edited, and I thought the way it was directed, I'm like, this is actually, it's actually pretty good. Like it's like Godzilla and King Kong kind of mixed together. In the fact that, you know, they capture it and bring it back to put on display. All of that stuff I thought was kind of interesting. It wasn't just a monster attacking. And so I got interested in the director. I'm like, I'm going to look up to see what this, what other stuff this guy's done. And he did The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms? 2,000 Fathoms.
20,000.
20,000 Fathoms. And The Giant Behemoth.
Yeah.
And then The Colossus of New York.
Right.
And so I'm like, what's The Colossus of New York? And then I found
so
that
trailer. So it was when you were digging into that is when you sent me that.
Yeah. And so I sent you that trailer for The Colossus of New York because that's of those movies, that's the one I hadn't heard of.
Yeah.
And then I saw the trailer for it. I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't know if that's on our list, but I think I'm going to add it.
You want it to be? Yeah. Because
it's so weird. It's like, I mean, I've heard the things about The Beast.
It's like an American version of the weird
Frankenstein conquers the world.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So I'm like, because I've heard good things about Beast from 20,000 Fathoms and The Giant Behemoth I've heard about. And so when I saw this, I'm like, oh, this is actually good. I wonder if those other ones are good. And then when I saw Colossus of New York, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to watch all these. So I'm going to make sure every one of those is on the list. But yeah, by this point, when he was captured and put in the circus, I was like 100% on board. And then they do the reveal where they say that this Gorgo is just an infant.
Yeah.
And then they show the picture of what an adult would be, and it's like insanely bigger. And so I'm like, oh, this Gorgo is just going to grow gigantic. That's going to be cool. But that's not the case.
But it's exactly the same creature, just bigger.
Yeah. But it's, there's a mom. There's a mom, and the mom's coming to get the baby. So it's kind of has similar vibes to Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2.
Yeah.
But with more than one building being destroyed.
Hey, when when they cut back to the harbor master and he's sitting there looking through that magnifying glass, were you hoping for the top secret big eye gag?
I do that a lot. I was just watching a movie recently that had that. Might have been like the Young Indiana, not the Young Indiana Jones, Young Sherlock Holmes. I watched that recently, really? Yeah. And,
So Ogre comes out. She comes out of the sea looking for her kid, and she just stomps and crushes houses.
Yeah.
Just step, crush, step, crush.
The panic in this movie seemed really real.
Oh, the crowd panics in the streets?
Yeah.
Those were brilliant.
So
you felt the panic and the claustrophobia and the moving through the crowd, and they pulled off extremely well.
Yeah. You'd usually, in Japanese movies, it's like everyone running the same direction down the stairs or, you know, across the boardwalk, and everyone's just running.
Orderly.
But this is like pushing and shoving and like panic. There's like people jumping from buildings. It's brutal. I was shocked.
It's like that woman. We're looking like the man pushed the woman out of the window, but then he jumps.
Yeah.
And there's tons of shots of people getting crushed by like concrete walls and stuff.
Oh yeah, there's that one. It's kind of it was a weird comp shot where the whole wall comes down. And then it kind of just lands on the people. But yeah. It was like, I mean, it didn't look great, but I'm like, oh, that's pretty messed up. Like, and we never see that.
Like close up, they're like prop debris falling on stuff, too.
That's the
problem. Tons of like rocks and stuff falling on people.
Yeah. That's the problem when you have like the split screen Godzilla behind real buildings that aren't getting crumbled, is you don't see the destruction on the ground level.
Right.
Yeah. So this was kind of like, it was really interesting. It was probably some of the best panic I've seen. And it's weird that I haven't really seen any movies since this movie came out, like post 1961 movies where they do panic that well.
Yeah. And it's like, there seems stuff like, there'll be like all the people who are panicking in like the subway station, and then the subway station gets collapsed upon. But luckily, he escaped with the kid. Everyone else got crushed.
Yeah.
But he jumped into the water with the kid, and they get out, they climb out, and then there's more crowd panic.
Loved it. Loved it. It was, it was great.
Oh, another great thing in the crowd panic is the girl. Oh, there's a lot of people getting crushed by people, too.
Yeah.
First, the girl drops a doll, and you just see a bunch of feet just stepping on that doll.
Yeah.
And then there's the guy, the Repent.
Oh, yeah. He gets taken out.
Repent and his nigh guy. He also gets crushed.
Yeah. This is weird, like, commentaries.
I was thinking, I wrote a note that, you know, if this happened in Japan, they'd have a little miniature Gorgo on that map.
Oh, yeah. They end up lighting the bay on fire? Is that what they do? I don't know. Or they light the bay on fire. Yeah, they drop like, is it barrels? But they light the bay on fire like the water. And Gorgo's coming through the water or the Ogre.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Skull Island when they dumped the napalm in the water.
Yeah.
All that stuff looked cool too.
Yeah. Oh, they're shooting flames at Gorgo. When Gorgo was like to force Gorgo back, they had all those little flamethrower guys.
Oh, so, yeah, yeah.
It's like doing the flames on them.
They destroy that bridge and there's little tiny guys falling off.
Oh, man. Oh, that was so good. First bridge, there's the two dolls that get dropped in the water. Then they cut to those guys in the water crawling out. But there's also that shot. It's like animated, it seems like.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's a chunk of bridge. And you see, like, two like, animated guys kind of, like, drop out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, this was... Like, it's shocking because it happens so quickly. It's like, abstract. Because you see the bridge and you're like, oh, cool. Like, the model is falling apart. And then, like, just for, like, a split second, you just see those two animated people. And you don't... Yeah. You don't get a good look at them.
Yeah, you miss it.
So it's like it just leaves an impression of real people falling, and it's like, oh, makes you uneasy. Like, it's so well done. Like, it's like, oh, it's like a, like, if they didn't linger on it, it was just like a kind of, hey, just have two guys drop from there. And it makes it a little, it doesn't look real, but it's like weirdly burned in your brain, like, that you saw it. And you're like, did I just see it? I don't know if I just saw it. I think I just saw two guys. Yeah. And then,
just because we've been referencing this like half hour little kind of like making of / tribute video that we found the internet called The Making of Gorgo, the Ninth Wonder of the World. That's the name of the video. But one of the things that the details that they talked about was when they were shooting him destroying like Big Ben and that bridge was that they cranked the film faster to make it a slow motion.
Yeah.
And that added weight to the models. Mm-hmm. When you see the big chunk of Big Ben dropping, it was pretty great. It's just kind of great. It's like, you know, I always like seeing landmarks in disaster movies, mm-hmm. you know, stuff that you're like, oh yeah. It's like every time Mothra destroys Tokyo Tower or any of those kind of things, it's just kind of like going, oh, it's cool to see something you recognize.
Yeah. And what I liked about the Big Ben destruction was the sound it made. Like it sounded like all the gears and the bells like getting
the clock.
Collapsing and like clanking together. It was I really, really enjoyed that set, that like, kind of bit of sound design. And then next came the city street where it looked like a comp shot, but he started knocking down the buildings.
Yeah. He's basically walking through the building and just the sides falling off.
Yeah.
The rocket launcher trucks.
Mm-hmm.
The big yellow rockets. Yeah, they're really brightly painted rockets. Mm-hmm. And like they all pull up. They're full of rockets. But there's also the shot of them loading rockets into one of them. Mm-hmm. And then when they're all shooting at them, it's like, is it a bunch of like bottle rockets? It's like a bunch of fireworks, it looks like.
Some of them look animated.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's basically, it's like a bunch of, you just kind of see the sparks coming off them around them and stuff. Uh-huh.
Like when they're being fired, but the fart shots when it was showing them going towards Ogre, it looked more animated. Like, I feel like they try to use like every bit of technology they had at the time to get shots done. And it was kind of cool. It was more than, you know, just model shots. There was like stuff added on top of it. Some of it looks silly, but I like it. You know, it's more fun than watching like 90s CG, you know.
And then there's that guy who's like the reporter who's basically just giving his play by play. But then he has that moment where he's like, I can't see anything. There's too much smoke.
Was that the dude that would look like he was in front of a model? Like
the
he was
blue
like
guy?
Superposed? Yeah.
He was a little blue. Yeah.
Yeah. There's it's weird things like that. Like there's certain comp shots where they just look flawless. And then there's other ones and you're like, I don't even know why this is a comp shot and why it's blue screened, but it looks awful. It's almost like a pickup shot or something that just didn't work right. But it's great. I liked this movie a whole lot. The concept of a mother just going to get its child and then just go take the kid back home. Yeah. Like there was no, it wasn't like there was any sort of like motivation Revenge. Other than just that. Yeah, it was just like, I'm going to go get my kid. My kid's is in the wrong neighborhood. I'm going to go get the kid and bring him
pick
home.
Up my kid.
Yeah, and it's just, there's buildings in the way. And Big Ben, and I'm going to stomp on this bridge while I'm at it. But it's just like a mad mom. And the kid, when they do end up walking out to sea, the kid does look like he's in trouble. He's just kind of walking behind the mom a little bit. It's funny that in the documentary we watched, it was said it was a happy ending. I mean, hundreds of people, I'm sure, got stomped and trampled and died and stuff, but the fact that the monster surviving, both monsters surviving and heading home, like that's what is a happy ending,
right?
So Gorgo is the good guy, I guess.
So the whole plan is to shock Ogra with this, was it 4 million volts,
something like that.
First, like, I don't know, how much do you think you need? And they're like, I don't know, 2 million, 3 million. And I was like, that's a pretty... And it's like, all right, 4 million, all of it. And that's what kind of makes their mouth all foamy.
Yeah.
All right, so the thing, I guess we didn't actually talk, we didn't say what it was, but during, at the end of Beast of 20,000 Fathoms, spoiler, the monster dies, apparently. And Eugene Laurier's daughter... got really bummed out about that and said...
got mad at the dad.
Got mad at her dad for killing the monster. And so when the opportunity came around again with Gorgo, he had created an ending that was happy and the mom and the kid are reunited and no one dies. I mean, no monsters die.
Yeah, just real mommies and daddies.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked it. I liked the ending. We've talked about feeling bad for the rubber suit monsters dying, or how like in Latitude Zero, just seeing the wingless condor laying on the table is off-putting. So seeing the monsters walk out into the ocean is always a happy ending. Yeah, it's a happy ending.
One thing I couldn't quite figure out what Sean's agenda was.
I guess the same thing, like wanted Gorgo and Orga to be happy and be in the ocean and no one to bother him.
Yeah,
like, that was it, right?
But it's like there was like so much things he did. It was like, wait, why? Like when he got into the truck with the military guys. I didn't understand what that was about.
I don't know.
That sends the guy to have to go get him and help him through the crowd. Yeah, there was like a lot. I was like, kind of, I don't quite understand what, because like he'd sit and he'd watch Gorgo like in the after hours, and be like, you know, and then, but he never did anything to try and let him out. In fact, when the guy was drunk. And he was going to open the cage.
Oh, yeah.
That was very bad drunk. Right. It was so indicated drunk. But it was pretty good suspense how it would open a little bit and then close a little bit. And
you see like, Gorgo back there?
You see him. He wasn't really trying to get out through the cage. But there was... Because he couldn't really interact with that cage, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was like this little kind of thing of suspense because it would open a little bit, then it would close again.
Yeah. And they'd probably get stepped on if it did end up getting open.
Right. Because his feet are so big. The first time I saw that, this is very back at the very beginning when they were diving. The first time I saw the tank strap that went around the chassis, I thought he had a split pants.
Do you want to talk about top five?
Oh, wow.
I am... Like, while watching it, like, from a technical standpoint, I'm like, this deserves to be watched by people.
Mm-hmm.
It's so tough. Like, Gorgo is so boring looking. And...
Yeah, well, I do wiggly like the way his ears moved.
The wiggly... It's so goofy, cute. But endearing. It looks like a... Something you'd see in like Pee-wee's Playhouse or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But like, it's not too long. The story's kind of cool and weird.
Monster shows up early,
but it doesn't. You don't really get monster fatigue because they do enough stuff with it with the giant version on the truck and the giant version in the boat, and then the concept of selling it to a circus. It kind of is like, it kind of feels like King Kong a little bit. And then, you know, before you know it, then they introduce the mom, and the mom is like way bigger. And so there's like always something in the hour and 14 minute long runtime that like kind of keeps you interested. And with the effects, even if they're bad, they're interesting to look at. I think the stock footage didn't bother me that much. It was kind of funny that they had so many shots of dudes with binoculars. I feel like it was almost a joke.
Yeah.
But I like it. It's, we watched a lot of new movies, like ones we haven't seen before. And it's nice to be surprised by one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really, really surprised. Like of course, the best example of that is Frankenstein Conquers the World.
But, yeah. Do you have our list handy?
Yes, it's on kaijupod.com.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
I also created a list on the YouTube page. So there's a playlist of five videos of five of our episodes, and it's our top five.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Number one, Rodan, two, Monster Zero, three, Frankenstein Conquers the World, four, Destroy All Monsters, and five is, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. And it's a strong list.
It's hard to break past Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Yeah. But there's stuff in this that I like more than that.
Than that movie?
Yeah, and Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. I mean, the model destruction and stuff is top notch. The fact that they built what appears to be a full size, like 30 foot long, tall puppet, even though, you know, they didn't, there's that tarp's covering the bits and pieces, and they also, it's also the same bits and pieces they don't show while they're on the boat, but still, like, that full size thing. And then just like the kind of like, I kind of want to know more about the fish, the weird fish at the beginning.
Yeah
I don't like, for me,
yeah, those fish are rubber. There's no way that they survived being wet.
Especially, I mean, if they're in salt water.
Like the way a latex, like you look at like an old Halloween mask, how awful they look now, like from like the 60s, the ones that people used to order on the back of magazines. The latex does not last.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, those fish are all like flaky and crusty and messed up already.
Yeah.
And it's also from back in the time where people didn't save stuff for like collectors and posterity. It was like, you know, everything got thrown away. As cool as those fish were, they're kind of fish that you like, oh, that'd be so cool if like those fish were at the submarine ride at Disneyland.
Yeah,
It was like you went to the area, like when you go to the area that's like dark and the fish have their own lighting and all that kind of business.
Yeah. For me, it's close to number five. I don't know.
I can't. For me, it's basically a robot wearing a Godzilla costume that gets burned off, gets destroyed off of him. Is going to be very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is like, for me, top 10, as far as what I would recommend people watch. If people say, hey, what should I watch? And I, you know, give them the top five and they're like, is there anything other than like Godzilla and stuff? I would say Frankenstein for sure. But I would say watch this and like Inframan. Like I would just like throw out some really weird ones.
Randos. Yeah.
And this is, I think it's kind of a nice, it's a different flavor because it's not Japanese and it's not American. It just has has a whole different kind of nice feel to it, which I appreciate.
Well, it might be American, but shot there, I think. But it definitely gave it a different feel for sure.
Well, I loved it.
I don't know if I'd want to watch these instead of a Godzilla movie, but it's good and well achieved, and it's cool because it's kind of a next step. This is a Western version of guy in a costume.
Yeah.
On such a large scale. Yeah. And so that's kind of cool where it was like, you know, now we're going to give a try at it.
Yeah. Usually we get giant puppets like them or the monster that challenge the world or stop motion.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't get a lot of guys in suits.
Yeah. So that I think that was a cool with the achievement.
But highly recommended for sure. Yeah. You ready to talk about next one?
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, we'll be talking about Q, a.k.a.
The Winged Serpent. Yeah,
a.k.a. Q, the Winged Serpent. So that, like this movie I watched on Amazon Prime. Q is also available on Amazon Prime. And then we'll have it up for you on kaijupod.com. And you can, you know, that has links to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can check out our top five. And yeah, man, it was a good one. I really liked it. Good stuff. So cool. Until next time.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, did they do anything? Like, I mean, I'm just going to go into town and watch them transport Gorgo to the circus. I want to be on those streets watching that happen.
Not only that, there's so many double-decker buses too.
Let's just say see Gorgo on the
side, just to be like, what is this? Yeah. I mean, they could have used those also for like advertising once the movie came out too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was gonna be the same thing. I was like, I want to actually drive around with the Gorgo truck.
Oh yeah. I mean, it happened for real. And I'm assuming they didn't like tell anyone. They just paraded it through there and just people just had to.
That's
react
what I feel
to
too. I feel that just they just kind of ran around and
grab footage.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. Let's get out of here.
Whoa.
What's up?
Oh, what is this? Moonbase Central. There's a truck. There's a toy truck. A Corgi Classics. Oh, I guess it's just a model of the flatbed that they use. There's no Gorgo on it. It's like the model of truck that.
But if you've got like a Gorgo action figure, you can recreate it.
Yeah, if such a thing.
All right.